Afternoon. Good to see everybody back again at this time. It's kind of dark out there. Kind of hard to get used to. We're going to look at 2 John this evening. We spent several months looking at 1 John, a number of different lessons. And then this week and next week, we're going to complete the study of these three books by looking at 2 John this evening, and next week looking at 3 John. You know, two words that are that people have a problem with, not well understood as they ought to be, that we have in our language today, are the words love and truth.
Amen.
Now let me throw this out at you just for a second, a for instance, if you will. Okay, we're supposed to love God.
Amen.
We're supposed to love Christ. We're supposed to love our spouse. Supposed to love our children. Supposed to love our parents. And yet, and I'm just asking, okay, have you ever said something like, and I'm sorry this applies to me, you know, I just really love pizza. I really do. It's one of my favorite foods. You can look at me and tell that I love pizza.
Amen.
Probably a whole lot more than I ought to. Okay, maybe you love working outside in your yard or in your garden. Maybe you like working with cattle. Okay, maybe you like spending time with your family or love. I'm sorry, I'm using the word like and I mean love. Okay, you know, this word is kind of subjective, isn't it? You know, if we're supposed to love God, then how can we turn right around, and I'm talking to myself here, how can I turn right around and say, well, I love pizza, but I love God too? Do you think that's kind of an insult to God?
No, no.
Well, it certainly is a compliment to pizza, isn't it? The other word is truth. Okay, what is truth? You know, the Bible says it's one thing, but we might say it's something else. You know, I don't think there's a single person in this building that if we sat down and discussed the doctrines of the Bible, we would agree on every bit of truth that's contained within it. But there are some people out there that not only we don't agree with, but we don't agree with even 50% of what they agree with. Truth is terribly subjective. You know, there's a fella up there in Washington, and he talks about fake news all the time. Don't know if you've ever paid any attention to him or not. Now CNN and all the rest of those news outlets, they think that they're saying the truth, but he sees the truth differently from the way that they see the truth, and so he gets on to them, and of course they get back at him. And I'm not bringing politics in it, just except for a real quick illustration. Where do we get truth? Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So we know what truth is. The question is, do we subscribe to that definition of what truth is? Somebody once said, and I agree with this with all my heart, God said it, I believe it, and that certainly ought to settle it.
Amen.
2 John's a weird letter. It's one of the shortest books in the whole Bible. New Testament, Old Testament, whatever. It's not addressed to a congregation. It's addressed to someone who's not even identified, except in the most general way, the elect lady and her children. And in this letter, John's talking about the relationship between truth and love. Now, John is called the Apostle of Love, not only because Jesus referred to him many times, or at least several times, in the gospel that John would write as the Apostle that he loved, but because he writes as much, if not more, about love than any of the rest of the writers of the New Testament, especially in 1 John. But he also writes about truth, about commands, and about obedience that we're supposed to have for God. In the first four verses of this book, and I want to go ahead and read them, he refers to truth five times. He starts out, the elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. John, according to this passage, wants his readers, and that includes us here about 1900 years after he wrote it, to walk, he said, and to enjoy fellowship with the truth. You know, in this way of understanding, truth is important. It makes a difference what people believe and on what they base their faith. Faith has to be grounded and founded and rooted in the truth. And that truth that we understand it to be is the truth of God's Word. Like I said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now in this letter, John stresses three different relationships between us and the truth. You know, the first is that we need to be faithful. First, he says it's important for us to follow God's commandments. Verses 4 through 6, "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Where does truth come from? Well, in science, it comes from experiments. You know, you try over and over and over again to discover a certain truth, and eventually it comes. When it comes to religion, truth comes from God. And that's the only place it can come from. And really, scientific proof or truth comes from God also. John said here in verse 5, that truth is tied to the love of God. "I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." Now we've discussed this before as we've looked at the first letter of John, that most of the time we don't think that love can be commanded. I can't be commanded by anybody to love Mike sitting back there. I didn't see that. Yeah, the one in the back row, he looked up too, okay, since we got a pair of them. But we think of love as being an emotion. But love is not just an emotion. We've looked at agape love over the past several months. Doing what's best for another person, that kind of love can be commanded. Although we don't think that it ought to be able to. You know, Jesus commands us to love our enemies. And that's not something that we feel real comfortable with. After all, what are we supposed to do to our enemies? Well, they're against us, then shouldn't we hate them? But we're commanded to love them.
Amen.
We also need to remember that if we only love those who love us, then we're just like the tax collectors. Everybody's nice to those who are nice to them. We've got to step out of our comfort zone, and we've got to love everybody. It's hard to love people that you don't get along with. But that's the whole key to this idea here. God said, John wrote through the Holy Spirit, "This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Our love is bound to the truth. And we got to remember that those two words are closely connected together. When we know what the truth is, then we'll want to do what God expects of us, even though at times it might be unpleasant. Next, we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be aware of what's going on around us. After talking about the relationship between love and obedience, John warns about people that might deceive us. In verses 7 and 8, "Many deceivers have gone out into the world, who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." Paul in this passage warns us of the deceitfulness of sin. We've got to be careful to remember that not everything that calls itself good is good, and not everyone who says that they are of God is really of God. John said that there were a group of people that called themselves Christians, but they didn't really think that Jesus had come in the flesh. Now, we've looked at this over the past several months. They called themselves, or they were called Gnostics, because they didn't believe that Jesus had come down in the flesh, that he had just come down here, and that he was in the Spirit. They thought that Jesus was just another prophet. That yes, he had come from God, but he was just a man. Certainly a great teacher, but just a man. These beliefs were creeping into and corrupting Christianity at the tail end of the first century. And while we might not think that this is a problem today, they're an example of things that could be a problem to us today. You know, a lot of people back then died for being Christians. A lot of people back then used to go to jail or to prison for being Christians. John says you need to be careful after you've made the decision to follow Christ and to make those sacrifices that you might end up losing your reward. Ezekiel in chapter 18 of his book says the soul who sins shall die two times in verse 4 and in verse 20. It's an interesting chapter if you read it. It's about a man who had started to serve God faithfully. He'd done everything that he was supposed to. He was living in accordance with what God expected of him. He was living sacrificially. He was living a morally upright life. And then all of a sudden, as his life started to wind down, he started doing wrong. And as a result, he lost everything. He lost his place. John's saying that we've got to be careful that we constantly stay on the straight and narrow, because it's possible that we too could lose our reward. Truth is so important. Those who hold on to the truth really trust Jesus. We can't trust Jesus if we don't hold on to the truth. Finally, we've got to be consistent. How do we treat those people that are false teachers, that are false prophets, that are living the wrong way, at least the way that we understand it in comparison to what the Bible teaches? I don't know that any of us have not met people that were deceived by human error. You know some of these people probably personally. John said, whoever transgresses and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We've got to remember first off that no matter how good these people seem to be, if they're not following Jesus' teachings, they are not of Him. We can't compromise the truth. He's also very specific in verses 11 and 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, don't receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, we've got to be careful how we interpret this. It doesn't mean, and of course, I live out in the country. I live a good ways from the road. If someone that I knew to be a false teacher was walking down the road, it was a hot day and they're hot and sweaty and getting ready to pass out, if I invited them into the house and gave them a glass of iced tea to refresh themselves, that wouldn't be giving, so to speak, aid and succor to the enemy. Okay, that would just be giving someone a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. You know, what's being talked about here is that we don't need to fraternize with those people to the point that we actually support their false doctrine. Now, this goes back to the first century, but I think we could probably apply it to the 18 and the early 1900s. You know, preachers back then weren't paid, and back in the early part of our country's history, they weren't paid much. And y'all can probably remember a gospel meeting being held, maybe right here at Smyrna. And there was no motel, or at least not much of one here. And maybe you'd put the fella up in your home and you'd feed him and his wife, and if he brought children or whatever. You know, and that's what John is talking about here in this passage. He's talking about if you've got someone that you know is a false teacher, that knowingly teaches and supports false doctrine, and you invite them into your house so that you're showing that you support that teaching, then you're just as guilty as he is. What's John saying about love and truth here in this passage? Well, I don't have to tell you, one of the most famous passages in the Bible is John 3:16. And I don't know how many times in my years as a preacher I've repeated it. And I know I've done it here probably a dozen or more times. God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if God loves them, we ought to love them too.
Amen.
But to say that we love a person doesn't mean that if they are false teaching, teaching falsely, we're supposed to accept them and say, Godspeed to what they are doing and what they're teaching. It's awful tempting to look at a person and see honesty and sincerity in what they're doing and accept them at face value. But they might be doing things in the wrong way. Now, a lot of people think that this is being judgmental. Somebody once said, it's kind of a crazy statement, many Christians have not been born of God. And there are a lot of people out there that think all you have to do is to have some sort of a spiritual or a supernatural experience to become a Christian. But that's not what the Bible teaches. On the other hand, sometimes it's possible to lose focus. You know, sometimes we can be so harsh and judgmental and critical and look at people under a microscope so harshly that we're overly judgmental. We lose all the love and the compassion. On the other time, we can be too loving and we can be too compassionate, thereby giving them too much of the benefit of a doubt. We've got to split the difference on both of these and see an individual for what he or she is and what they teach. It's so important that we understand truth for what it is. We've got to understand what it is. We've got to study it. We've got to get it into our minds so that if we see error being taught, we'll be able to recognize it, and we've got to be obedient to it ourselves. And of course, all of this has to be done in the spirit of love, knowing that God loves everybody and that He allows to the end of that individual's life for them to repent. We've got to allow them the same time, same thing, but we've got to make sure that we correct them if they are wrong. That's the lesson for this evening. It hadn't been necessarily about becoming a Christian, but if you're not a child of God and you need to respond to the invitation this evening, you can come now. Or if you need to come to repent of some sin or for the prayers of the saints, then you can come now as we stand and sing.